You are listening to IEEE Talk Software Process, where experts interview experts. I'm Scott Roy Smith, your host here at the IEEE Computer Society Studios in gorgeous Southern California. Right up front, I want to give you a warning. This is only for software professionals who need mission-critical, proven, and in-depth implementation of software quality, measurement, risk management, and Lean Six Sigma. The content of this podcast is peer-reviewed for accuracy, so you can count on results. Just add water and apply according to directions. So if you're ready, let's dig in. Today, our two experts are IEEE Computer Society author John W. Walls and IEEE Computer Society member Douglas B. Smith. They're joining us by a conference call, and Doug will interview John about the use of standards to implement ISO 90003 for software engineering organizations that are conforming to ISO 9001. John has worked with the previous guest on our program, Susan Cathy Land, to write several books on software engineering, software process improvement, and how to apply software engineering and standardization to real-world programs. We put both John and Doug's bios on the website, but I'd like to briefly introduce them here. John Walls has had a 30-year career at Lucent and AT&T, which was highlighted by customer-focused and dynamic results-oriented management and over 20 years of management coaching experience. John is the current Vice President for the Standards Activities Board. Also on the call is Lean Six Sigma Black Belt, Doug Smith. He's been involved in process improvement since 1987, applying quality improvement, Lean Six Sigma, and the Software Engineering Institute's capability maturity models as a practitioner, assessor, team leader, and manager. Doug, welcome to the call, and please take it away.
Okay, Scott, thanks. John, can you start by telling us what's the problem that ISO 9001 addresses?
Well, thank you, Doug. Software managers and their upper management need assurances that their software organizations have the capabilities to consistently meet their customer needs. And this is also reinforced by their customers' aversion to risk and surprises with the software development deliveries and their ongoing maintenance. These surprises could be rescheduled delivery, deliveries incomplete to their requirements, a late delivery, a delivery with defects, a latent defects discovered, and finally, late fixed response times.
So what's the solution to these problems?
Well, some customers suggest or require their software suppliers to learn, follow, and conform to the popular ISO 9001. And within the company, some software managers are aware that their competitors are advertising ISO 9001 conformance or registration, and thus their future business may be at risk. And the same managers, software managers, may argue with their upper management that the organization is acting inconsistent in the business of finding and working with customers and suppliers, and that the ISO 9001 has the scope that could surface and solve these issues.
But for those of us that do mostly software engineering, isn't ISO 9001 primarily for the factory?
Well, originally, ISO 9001 was authored back in 1987 for product development and manufacturers, and the early adapters for ISO 9001 were mainly manufacturers in a variety of product areas, in many areas very remote from software. So a guidance document called ISO 9000-3 was published in 1991 to show software engineering organizations how to use this 9001 standard clause by clause. But there were many complaints with this guidance standard, such as being a patchwork of requirements that didn't really fit into any working software engineering framework. So in the year 2000, the ISO 9001 Quality Management System Requirements Standard was dramatically redesigned and published as a process approach applicable to any organization with management and processes. And while its scope covered software engineering organizations, it was too generic and high level for software. Again, the software engineering organizations wanted some guidance. So the ISO standard organization and the IEC standards organization jointly got together and they published International Standard 90003 to provide software engineering guidance on each of the ISO 9001 clauses and details which of the ISO software engineering standards apply.
Okay, so John, can you tell us a little bit more about ISO 9001 itself and what it's all about?
Okay, Doug, the 9001 title is Quality Management Systems Requirements. It's not a product quality standard, nor a quality control standard, nor a quality assurance standard, but a standard on how to manage for quality throughout the organization to meet customer requirements and achieve good customer satisfaction. It was designed to address 8 principles. It has a customer focus. It involves leadership. It shows the involvement of people. It's a process approach. It's a systems approach to management. It includes continual improvement. It allows for a factual approach to decision-making and mutually beneficial supplier relationships. ISO 9001 is the world's most popular standard, as over 800,000 organizations claim conformance. And it's less than 20 pages long. In a nutshell, ISO 9001 conformance means the organization shall determine the needs and expectations of customers and other interested parties. It shall establish policies and objectives and a work environment necessary to motivate the organization to satisfy those needs. It shall design, resource, and manage a system of interconnected processes necessary to implement that policy and attain their objectives. It shall measure and analyze the adequacy and efficiency and effectiveness of each process in fulfilling its proposed purpose and objectives. And finally, it shall pursue the continual improvement of this system from objective evaluation of its performance.
Wow, 800,000 organizations is an amazing level of adoption. What's leading all these companies to take up ISO 9001?
Well, there are several drivers, both external and internal drivers, for conforming to 9001. Externally, your customer may need the confidence that you're doing the minimum expected of any good company, or your company's competition has already got conformance to 9001, or you have some one or more troubled suppliers and you decided to learn and conform to 9001 along with your supplier in order to improve their and your processes and products. On the internal side, your management chain may determine process improvement that will lead to one or more benefits. And these benefits could include better software product quality due to less defects created and better defect detection, lower costs due to less rework due to less defects created, less maintenance costs due to less customer-reported software problems, better communications within the supply chain on the quality issues and their improvements, more timely deliveries of the product due to less defects created and better defect detection earlier in the lifecycle model, more robust software products developed due to complete specifications being incorporated, and finally, to reduce project risk.
You've just described a lot of company and customer benefits there, John. What's in ISO 9001 for me as a practitioner?
Well, Doug, if you work in a robust, mature management system conforming and using 9001, you can obtain the following benefits. Your job roles and positions will be understood by your management and peers. Your roadblocks will receive solutions and support by others, including your management. Your rework effort will be reduced by others' good work, and support for finding and correcting defects before they reach you. There also will be better visibility to what your peers are doing for the project's success, and there will be opportunities to work across the project team to prevent future similar problems. And these benefits occur when you're using the software guidance document 90003.
Isn't 90003 a post office in L.A., just there off I-110?
Yeah, not the zip code 90003, but the international standard 90003. ISO and IEC set up this guidance document that describes where your process fits into ISO 9001. And the international standard 90003 was written by software experts who understand your terminology and environment.
It sounds like ISO 9001 and international standard 90003 cover some of the same ground. What's the difference between them?
Well, 9001 is generic and has high-level requirements for any for-profit organization. International Standard 90003 provides for each ISO 9001 clause the relevant guidance on the typical software engineering practices. Where the ISO 9001 is the what, International Standard 90003 is the high-level how. 90003 points to a variety of software engineering standards with further details. And IEEE is coming out next year with a version of 90003, and that will map the 9001 clauses and requirements into individual IEEE software engineering standards. And these IEEE standards will provide you further details on the best practices to meet your project goals and still conform ISO 9001.
So that combination should help my job, the work that we do on my project, to continuously improve.
Yes, Doug. The intent of 9001 is your organization continually gets better with happier customers. 9003 will show where your work processes fit within the 9001 system. And the communication and performance will improve when your team members and management use a common framework, process definitions, measurements, and vocabulary as provided by these standards.
So I'm a software engineer, John, and most of the work we do uses a lifecycle based on IEEE 12207. Where do I start with International Standard 90003 and IEEE 12207?
Well, that's good that you have some familiarity with 12207, and that is the base document from ISO. So from where you work in the software lifecycle, you're going to find your specific working processes are defined in IEEE 12207, and the title of that is for Software Lifecycle Processes. The International 90003 maps your 12207 processes into the ISO 9001 clauses. Now, your management will expect you to conform to your current work process and know its impact on for 9001 conformance. And if your organization has gaps with 9001 conformance, then your process work may be impacted and further requirements will be given to you to follow and complete.
So where do the IEEE 12207 software lifecycle processes fit in?
Doug, your software engineering organization may use one or more software lifecycle models. Each model has a collection of software engineering processes. Based on your credentials and training, your project management has assigned your role to one or more of the software engineering processes. The IEEE 12207 defines 17 software lifecycle processes and 13 development subprocesses. And next year, the 12207 revision will have 43 software lifecycle processes. Now, that increase in number of processes is a result of that adding the system-level processes that affect software and the elevation of several important development activities to the process level.
So when I'm working with my my processes, how can I determine whether or not they're good enough for ISO 9001, International Standard 90003, and IEEE 12207?
Well, within any project development organization, there normally exists process engineers who understand these international standards. Your project will plan to use specific software engineering processes that interface with a network of processes. This process network makes up your project lifecycle. Your process will be defined and revised to meet these international standards. When issues occur and gaps are identified, you will be resourced and trained into your revised work process. Your conformance will be supported and measured, and after your project is finished, you'll be given an opportunity to contribute your lessons learned with your processes on this project. The lessons learned will be inputs to further process improvement and possibly affect your work plans and outputs on the next project. These steps are also called plan, do, check, and act, or the initials PDCA. Iterations of these PDA steps on each project delivery, or at least annually, will grow and sharpen the organization's management system. The PDCA step check normally includes objective audits that includes both interviews and examinations of the project artifacts.
So for these audits, I need artifacts, right? Are the artifacts things I use in following my process or something that is produced as a result of the process?
Well, actually both. Your work is visible and valuable to your peers and management by the creation or modifications of records and documents. These records and documents are called project artifacts. The major artifacts have planned milestones and committed assignments in the project plan. A subset of the project document artifacts are actually used by your customers. And users of your artifacts are your team members, management, and possibly customers. The process engineers and project managers will work together to tailor the lifecycle model and its processes to create a project plan with artifacts, their milestones, dates assigned to roles and project members.
So as a project member, what is it I need to do to help pass an ISO 9001 audit?
Doug, simply play your role as defined by the project plan, meet your milestone commitments within agreed-upon process definitions, and also support your peers in their work. And the most common support are peer reviews. and then finally complete your high-quality artifacts with the visibility that shows conformance to others, and then management will have the ability to pull together the system of processes to pass the ISO 9001 audit.
Well, that sounds doable. What do I get out of an ISO 9001 audit?
Doug, within a robust and mature management system, your interaction with an audit can allow you to explain and show your work, understand critical organization and project risks that are the audit focus, and allows you to work with others on addressing the audit nonconformances, allows you to work with management on the corrective and preventative actions uncovered by the audit, and gives you the assurance that your project and organizational deliverables will be acceptable to your customer.
That sounds pretty good. So International Standard 90003 and IEEE 12207 give me all the answers I need for my processes.
Well, almost. The international standards are terse for wide applicability across large and small organizations using any technology. Your organization uses one or more technical domains, has acquired and trained staff for particular roles. So naturally, there's going to be a gap in detail. In closing this gap includes training and knowledge management. The knowledge can be acquired from books, articles, detailed process standards, and IEEE has a suite of software process standards that can be useful to your process engineer and to you for further training. This podcast and others from IEEE Computer Society are to help you find answers to your questions. Another podcast participant, Kathy Lann, and I have written a book from John Wiley and IEEE Computer Society Press titled Practical Support for ISO 9001 Software Project Documentation Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. This book provides mapping and many document templates for software engineering organizations to both improve and to conform to ISO 9001.
Oh, yeah. On my last project, I used several of the templates off the CD from that book for some of our project plans. So thanks very much, John, both for those and for today's practical advice on ISO 9001 and International Standard 90003.
You're welcome.
Thank you, John Walls and Doug Smith, for addressing the use of standards to implement ISO 90003 for software engineering organizations that are conforming to ISO 9001. You've touched on some important areas that are covered in depth in some publications that I'd like to point out to our listeners. These are listed in the show notes on the website and email newsletter, but I'll mention a few here to start with. The first two are IEEE Computer Society ReadyNote guidebooks. One is titled IEEE Software Engineering Standard Support for the CMMI Project Planning Process Area. And that one was written by Kathy. The other is IEEE Software Engineering Standard Support for ISO 9001, Getting Your Organization Started. Both Kathy and John wrote this one. These ReadyNotes can be found at www.computer.org/ReadyNotes. There are also some very useful books available through John Wiley and IEEE Computer Society Press. They'll also be found on Amazon.com. One is entitled Jumpstart CMM/CMMI Software Process Improvement Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. Other books come from the Practical Support series. For example, Practical Support for CMMI-SW Software Project Documentation Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. Another, Practical Support for ISO 9001 Software Project Documentation Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. And there's a new title coming in June of 2008. That one's called Practical Support for Lean Six Sigma Software Process Documentation Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of IEEE Talk Software Process. Thanks for listening. We'd like to hear from you. Please email podcasts@computer.org to give us your comments and feedback, or visit us at computer.org/podcasts. Until next time, this is Scott Roy Smith saying, may your advancement be manifest.